Raiding the Kingdom, episode 150. It's our NFL Combine review.
Review.
And our free... No. Oh, no. This is our review. We're doing a
it's
review.
It's a review. It's like it's a post-preview. It's a post-preview, right. Too.
And then... There you go. And then we're doing our NFL free agency preview. So this is all very exciting. Coach and I are going to give you our winners, our losers. I don't know how much you guys will agree or disagree with our little summations here. And then we're going to kind of go into what we think, you know, the Raiders and Chiefs both have some free agency concerns and people they need to focus in on. I have a knock on my door. And then, you know, we'll kind of open up the conversation because we're getting into the crazy off-season chatter. So let me go address something while Coach handles the people.
Yeah, I'm the man of the people, right? So we have, you know, we both picked winners. We obviously both picked some losers. I'm going to start with a winner of mine, Luke McCaffrey, right? Christian McCaffrey's brother, dad's Ed McCaffrey, legendary wide receiver, won obviously Super Bowls with the Broncos. I believe he won one with the 49ers as well. Just a really athletic family. I think all the kids played college sports. I know the brothers played college football, and I think he's got a sister that plays a college sport too. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I think so. So Luke McCaffrey, he ran a faster 40 than his brother, Christian McCaffrey, all-world running back for the San Francisco 49ers. Definitely the premier, one of the premier football players in the game. Definitely the best running back. His brother showed up, kind of had, I think, a winding road as far as his college career goes, but ended at Rice. Was very solid in the combine, ran a 4.47 40. He's got great toughness. He's got great route running abilities. To me, he reminds me a lot of a Wes Welker, Julian Edelman type thing. Not just because they're white guys, but they just play a very similar type of game. I think he's moving up draft boards. I don't know if he's probably, my guess is in the 4 to 5 range, potentially 3, depending on how some pro days go. But I think that someone like him would be a great addition. He's disciplined. He knows the game. He's got a great bloodline. And these guys that don't necessarily get all the hype typically are more hungry. So I'd like to see Luke McCaffrey go somewhere good and continue on the McCaffrey tradition in the NFL.
So is that your first official winner of the combine?
That's my first official winner of the combine, yeah.
Okay. So I like that you picked someone that wasn't exactly a top-tier guy. I'm going to go the exact opposite and pick the most top tier guy, which is probably going to upset some people, even though he didn't compete. And I don't want to give much of a platform because this particular person didn't compete that much. And then I will give a player that did compete, just so it's not all about this one guy. Caleb Williams, you had two of the top tier quarterbacks. Well, three top tier quarterbacks that did not compete: Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and Caleb Williams. I think that Caleb Williams of the three came out I would say the least amount, because it seemed like whether it was, I know he doesn't have agents, but he has people. If it was whoever is consulting him, they put him out there as much as they could. You know, like, he wasn't available for press conferences in college all the time. He doesn't have an agent. It seems like then there was confusion about whether or not he's going to participate with the medical, and a lot of, you know, controversy surrounding him when he's not actually participating on the field. And then at the end of the combine, we had somebody that we're a fan of, Pete Schrager from Good Morning Football, put something out there about astonishing. Caleb Williams was the last man on the field, and he thanked all the staffers. And I think, one, you should thank those people. The last guy on the field. And so I raised the question, why are we enamoring ourselves with him staying on the field when he shouldn't be tired because he didn't participate? All the athletes are off the field because they're exhausted from, you know, putting their bodies on the line for the day to try to get a little more attention. And Pete Schrager responded, you know, to us, he said, you know, I'm not his agent. I don't think he has an agent. You know, he doesn't have an agent.
Yeah.
Come on. Let's be real here. And that, you know, it's just an observation he made as a credentialed member of the NFL, which some people thought he was throwing shade. We're also credentialed by the NFL, so if it was shade, it doesn't really fit. That's just an opinion. You can like Caleb Williams. You can think it was great that he did that. I don't think he should be getting a participation trophy for standing on the field at the end of the day. I wanted to draw the – and, I, you know, Jaden Daniels also opted out. but I am obviously a little biased because I like him more than Caleb Williams. A little bit. Just a smidge of a bias there. But, you know, he said, I'm not participating. It's a business decision, but also I want my teammates to get the exposure on my pro day at LSU, which whether that's the truth or not, it sounds a lot better than just, it's just what I decided to do and I'm not doing it. And
he's got two other potentially first round receivers he's going to be throwing to, and Neighbors and Thomas Jr. Right.
So that was just my opinion of it. I don't think Caleb Williams came out of the combine. Obviously he didn't participate, but it didn't come out that he was some, you know, like, I don't think it helped his image, if anything.
I don't think anything at this point really does. I mean, Caleb Williams playing at USC, living in a penthouse in LA. He rumors are he made about $10 million in his 2 years. In Southern California, I mean, California taxes, that's, you know, that's about maybe $5 million after taxes and all that stuff. But I understand him not necessarily doing the drills. Most top picks in the draft don't do that. I get it. You don't want to have any risk of injury, but to be so, I guess in a sense, just like stuck up and like you're don't stink, is a little bit, disheartening. You know, there's many teams that need a quarterback. I know he had plenty of interviews with them. We don't know how those went. I think being humble until you do something in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes won 3 Super Bowls. He's still a humble dude. Still wants to work hard. Still wants to be a great teammate. Still wants to do all these things. And you know, you keep people keep
carried away. You know, I mean, it's Patrick Mahomes, and he's whatever. You know,
Three-time Super Bowl champion, last Super Bowl in the Raiders game. But nonetheless, yeah, I'm not a Caleb Williams fan either. I've said that since the beginning. And
I think it was a chance to dispel, hey, I don't want ownership of a team. Hey, I'll go wherever I want, which he did. You know, he said, hey, if I go first overall and I'm a Bear, that's great. But, you know, we could have even said, hey, you know, like, you guys getting on me about crying with my mom or painting my nails or whatever, like, try to come down on more of a personal level. And I just didn't really get it that way. So there's a non-player who I'm putting as a loser. I'll give an actual player as a loser. I'm going to go with Cameron Kitchens, the safety from Miami. He was one of the top safeties in the draft going into this. You know, you could argue this is why that some guys do sit out of the combine to avoid something like this. He placed low in almost every statistical category. His 40 wasn't that fast, 4.65. His backpedal did not look smooth. His hips looked tight. He probably fell out of the first round. Even though there's not even that many top safeties in going into the draft this year. But as far as Cameron Kitchens goes, I know Green Bay was looking at him. They have a safety problem. The Raiders, I believe, met with him, but I think he dropped to the second probably because of the combine.
Yeah. So you good if I go with one of my losers?
Rock and roll.
So a guy that I was thinking that could have a very good combine did the exact opposite. That's Mr. Spencer Rattler, former Oklahoma Sooner and Gamecock from the University of South Carolina. Great arm strength. That was something that the scouts were obviously very intrigued with. That shows on tape. You know, we got to take the some of the drills and stuff that happened at the combine with a grain of salt too. It's not the end all be all. It's all, you know, it's all show. To an extent, some of it obviously translates, but he just, from what I gathered, he was just one of the worst quarterbacks on all the athletic agility tests, which makes you think there's probably, I mean, the NFL is a completely different beast. I mean, even the SEC is obviously probably about the closest thing as you can get to the NFL as far as like a full on talent base, but it's still not even close. You know what I mean? It's apples and oranges. Right. And a lot of them think that he probably dropped to a day 3 pick. I had potentially thought that's he was maybe wild. A day 2 pick. I think someone could get a Spencer Rattler day 3 and give him some time, and he could potentially develop into a starting quarterback in the NFL. But like we see, the changeover and the rotation of these quarterbacks is very consistent.
This is not setting him off on the right foot.
It's not setting himself on the right foot. And you got to hope that at his pro day, there's some nerves involved and whatnot, but he did not.
There's going to be nerves involved with a stadium full of 70,000 people that.
Yeah, exactly. So that maybe the nerves thing isn't necessarily a good excuse, but I was a little bit shocked that he didn't do better. I mean, I think if he just with his arm strength and was just very medium to above average in the athletic ability test, he probably would have been a day two pick. But now he's looking like a day three guy.
Yeah, and that's kind of what I was thinking now. I mean, 2 years ago they were already talking about, oh, when this kid enters the draft, he's going to be the top pick. I believe there were Mahomes comparisons going on at that point. So it's just crazy to see how far he's come how far he's dropped. So I'll give us a winner now, going kind of an upstart. So the top two receivers, one of the ones that I wanted to see, Malik Nabers, another LSU guy, him and Marvin Harrison Jr. opted out of essentially everything. Marvin Harrison Jr., I think, like literally nothing. Like, I think he wouldn't even do the medical. So also similar to the Caleb Williams situation, just not a great look. I'm going to go with Rome Odunze and that's Rome Odunze. I went over my frustration with the pronunciation previously. Chris Sims from NBC Sports kept calling him Romeo Odunze, not close. He kind of put it all out there and said, I'm going to compete. I'm going to go on the field. I'm going to climb the ranks. And I heard some analysts calling him like a mix of Tyreek Hill, and which is not totally accurate, and Davante Adams. But I mean, if you could combine those two receivers, you pretty much have the perfect wide receiver. So I think he took a gamble. He could have sat out and just retained his spot as the top, but I think now the battle with him and Nabers for that wide receiver two spot in the draft, it's just getting a little bit more competitive, and him being available for everything at the combine, I think, helped that. So it's a gamble now to do it. I think either they need to make it mandatory or not eventually. Otherwise you're going to, you know, people go there to see the stars. And if all the stars start sitting out,
I don't think it's necessarily be mandatory, because you look at a guy like Jake Butt. Remember a couple of years ago, he was potentially going to be one of the first tight ends taken. And then he like tore his ACL, I believe.
Who was that last year or 2 years ago from the Colts?
The dude from
Michigan.
Defensive end. Yeah. I can't remember.
Blanked on his name, but he tore his ACL at the combine. So I understand it happens, but I mean, you hold the event for a reason, so you kind of got to take it for what it is. Did you have another winner you wanted to punch out?
I did. People? I will. So I am not going to go receiver. I realized I had two receivers here. I'm going to go Amarius Mims, tackle Georgia. Ooh. This is a big boy. This is a big man tackle. 6'8".
In a big tackle class or offensive line.
Yeah, in a big tackle class. 6'8", 340. He had a 4.33 shuttle. 4.33 second shuttle on the cone drill, right? Fastest time for an old lineman since 99, right? So despite his size, he's very fluid and graceful. Chief great Joe Alt's son is probably the top tackle in the draft, man out of Notre Dame. So I think he would be probably the top tackle. And then you have the guy from Penn State, whose name I couldn't pronounce if I tried, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy. And then Mims, I think maybe has got himself, into that third tackle taken. You know, Georgia obviously produces quality NFL players all around. They produce solid O linemen. I think that he could end up continually move up draft boards. You know, he'll have a good showing at his pro day as well. And, you know, Georgia's kind of a football factory right now, so you kind of trust their product.
100%. That's a solid one. And I had another offensive line winner, Troy Fontenot from Washington. Just his on-field workouts, he looks solid. He looks strong. He looked, you know, very quick for his size. Once again, just another massive human being that showed that agility to be like a pulling guard or enough speed to be a tackle on either side. So I think, like you said, Joe Alt has cemented himself probably as a top 10 pick, but this offensive line,
Joe, 1000%. Yeah. And like, he's like I said, he's a son of a Chief legend. So I don't know, maybe the Chiefs get crazy and go get a tackle and protect Patrick Mahomes for good.
Well, there's enough quality ones that you could probably get one at 32 also, or trade up like three
or trade spots. Up or free agency. because we got that coming up too. So
why don't we segue? That's a perfect segue. Hey, nice. Yeah, because we get to talk
about combine. It's like John Stockton right there.
There you go. So if I could just kind of John Stockton.
Yeah.
After I moved out of Massachusetts, I was done with Celtics and basketball and all that. And you and I are Jordan kids, so there you go.
Yeah, yep.
So free agency is kicking off next week, tampering period. And everyone knows how this goes. We're going to start to see news trickle in early next week. When free agency officially starts, 90% of the deals are already done. You know, the names floating around this week are Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins. I don't think Baker Mayfield's going anywhere.
Let me ask you this. You know, we're talking about names, and what about Mike Evans in that deal? 2 years, $53 million, $35 million guaranteed.
That's wild. I kind of thought that they would have gone on just a very rich 1 year deal, considering his age. But his productivity, I guess, you just can't argue.
10 straight 1,000 yard seasons. You can't ignore that.
Yeah, I'm glad he didn't end up in Kansas City, to be honest. So I'm sure I haven't taken a look at all the wide receiver free agents, but you know, T. Higgins got the tag. Who's that from the Colts? He just got tagged as well.
Michael Pittman.
You know, Brian Burns is not getting a long term deal, it looks like. So a lot of the big names floating around right now, it's not like big names. Like, we don't have a crazy watch for this one particular player. I feel like usually there's one guy. I'd say almost this time it might be Kirk Cousins trying to see where he goes. Mm-hmm. And Saquon Barkley. Saquon Barkley is a free agent. The Giants are not putting it on him. And they're also not tagging Xavier McKinney. So they got a couple guys hitting the market as well. But for the Raiders, Josh Jacobs is a free agent. He likely does not want to be tagged again. There's rumors that he's willing to accept a one-year deal to stay with the Raiders. Now we're hearing that there's possibly a $30 million 3-year deal on the table for the Cowboys. So a lot of rumors around Josh Jacobs. You didn't hear that one? Yeah. Yeah. They said the Cowboys might be courting him. I saw that one today. But you know, the rumors are going to fly. The Raiders GM, Tom Telesco, former Charger, said that there will not be a lead back for the Raiders. It's going to be a committee, which is ironic coming from LA, who rode Austin Eckler into the ground. So that's kind of what we've been doing with Jacobs. I'd be fine with a 1-year deal if it's semi-reasonable, but I also think that Zamir White, aka Zeus, looked effing strong towards the end of the season. So Raiders wise, I think they should try to grab maybe another cornerback. I saw Dante Jackson from Carolina is available. He's a speedster. Guy runs like a, I think it was a high 4.2. And if Carolina is upset about him leaving, then they don't have many players to be upset about leaving. So that might be someone to look at. I mean, he's not as young as he once was, but he's also not in that like decrepit
age. Is that possible?
I know. Amazing. What an amazing concept. You know what I mean though?
I do.
We're not getting, you know, rookie Dante Jackson who was just lighting it up. So really I want to see them grab a corner, and I mulled over this. Aiden O'Connell should stay. The idea about him being the and I'm not going to just drive Raiders down your throat, coach. You're going to get your turn to
I think you
like Aiden O'Connell enough. You think he's decent for a fourth round.
Yeah, I mean, I said he was going to be good.
Yeah, you did. And he was decent. But this whole, a lot of these quotes, and I love Antonio Pierce, but talking about, you know, the quarterback band-aid, I think that Aiden O'Connell, his head has got to be a bit messed up right now. Yeah. I think in free agency, they need to find a third string quarterback that's not Brian Hoyer, a veteran to help lead Aiden and whatever quarterback we draft in April. If he's not going to do a band-aid quarterback, then he shouldn't be. Russell Wilson and Kirk Cousins should not even be on the table. So I will be very upset if they sign either of those guys in free agency. One, cause they're, well, at least Kirk Cousins' price tag, and two, that's literally what he said he's not going to do, is a stopgap quarterback just to put a little band-aid on the franchise for a year or two. We need to move now, and we need to, you know, punch the ticket and, pretty much go broke. For a top quarterback. Yeah. So I don't know if you had more thoughts on that, or you want to dive into who the Chiefs are looking at.
Or yeah, I don't really give a shit about
Chris Raiders. Jones. Or yeah, so Chris Jones could be a Raider. That could work out really nice for us.
Like I said, two things will happen. If Chris Jones decides to become a Raider, you will get a Chris Jones jersey.
Beautiful.
An Oakland after Vegas.
After my Jaden Daniels jersey.
Yes, you'll just be filled up with jerseys, and I will also punch you in the dick. So, but no, I don't think Chris Stone Cold Chris Jones will be going anywhere. I think he will re-sign with the Chiefs. We still have about a week to get that done. Most reports show that their progress is a lot farther than it was last year. I think Brett Veach, Clark, the Hunts, everyone realizes just how important Chris Jones is. Yes, he's 30, but he's worth it. We're on the brink of doing something very special with three straight Super Bowls. We're not getting three straight if Chris Jones isn't in a Chiefs uniform. Signed our franchise tag, L'Jarius Sneed. I know I mentioned that last week. I think it officially happened today. The Chiefs would essentially get probably about a third round pick if they didn't, and a compensatory pick in the future. I think the Chiefs' ultimate goal is to probably try and get a little bit higher, see if they can get like a second round pick for him, maybe a player. Sneed's been great. I'd love to keep him and McDuffie together for next year at least. I think that's still a very small possibility, but from pretty much anything I've seen, it looks like Sneed will end up somewhere else, which is okay because ultimately we're going to have to play McDuffie and we can't pay both of them an exorbitant amount of money at the same time.
McDuffie was on fire during the Super Bowl.
McDuffie was all pro, right? So McDuffie is the one that will get signed to the big long-term deal. They're both homegrown guys, but McDuffie's first rounder, so we'll have the fifth year option. Anyways, we don't have to worry about McDuffie for a couple years. Another couple important Chiefs free agent is I would love to have Drew Tranquil back long-term. Looks like Mr. Willie Gay wants to get paid. I think he will. I don't think the Chiefs will be able to necessarily afford him. I'm good with, Tranquil, Nick Bolton, Leo Chanel. I'm sure they'll draft somebody this year too, just as a rotational piece. But I think Drew Tranquil just embodied what it meant to be a Kansas City Chief. He loved it here. He was just, he's got that tough grit and he just loves playing football. He loves hitting people. So that's the type of guy you want on your team. For sure. And then
real quick, how linebacker, like you guys holding on to those key players you just named, like the linebacker options in the draft are few and far between. And then the linebackers available in free agency, like Patrick Queen might be available there. But like, as far as big name linebackers,
slim. There's the dude from North Carolina State who our boy Will Compton said he'd be on the white dude team. Potentially, he's fast. I think we could probably drop him down and have him as a safety. But, was it Wilson? Peyton Wilson?
Yep.
Peyton Wilson.
Yeah.
And then for free agencies from another team, I've seen a couple things. Michael Thomas, Saints wide receiver, potentially maybe going to Kansas City on a incentive-laden deal. Maybe like a 1 year, try and get healthy, see if you can do something. And then that would be like, if he's, 80% of what Michael Thomas was a couple years ago, then that's a steal, especially at,
I feel like you're going to get like an Odell Beckham type production out of him. You'll get like three or four touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be the case. It just most of the big time, I don't think, some people are thinking Darrell Mooney's going to get like, 10 to 12 million a year. I don't really think
Darnell he's Mooney. 10 to 12. I don't think.
No. Yeah. Well, no, I think he's more than 7 to 9 would be something I think would be, maybe like a 2 year or like a 3 year, $22, $23 million deal. Some incentives in there. But then I also see a lot of people think maybe Eckler. So you got, Pacheco and Eckler there as a potential combo. I don't know. I wouldn't mind to have Jerick McKinnon back, but I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire will be gone. But you got to reload and get after it, especially after Super Bowl championship. I don't think we're going to lose a ton of people. I think most of the band will be back.
And a couple other free agents, I kind of touched on it, but the rumors also today were heating up that Saquon could possibly be a target of the Los Angeles Chargers. I think you and I would prefer that he not go there.
I think he'll end up a Texan.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, I wouldn't mind him seeing him there. I mean, it's still, unfortunately, the AFC, but I don't want him in the West. I want him out of there. The guy can take over games by himself. I don't want him there. you know, a couple on the defensive line, like Christian Wilkins is available, Danielle Hunter, offensive tackle Tyron Smith, but also health is a big question mark for him. And then, yeah, then it really does like kind of drop off. A lot of defensive guys that are free agents right now. But you know, not a ton of studs. I mean, like Stephon Gilmore's getting up there. Frankie Louvu, linebacker, Patrick Queen. That's definitely a coveted one, but just because of the shortage on linebackers, like we said. But you know, what I want to see, and you and I kind of talked off air about this, for if there's certain players that you're eyeing in the draft, you want to see other teams take players in those positions of need. So obviously, for the Raiders fans listening, we want a quarterback in the draft, one of the top ones. So we want to see Washington. We want to see New England. We want to see those guys go for veteran QBs, because then there's that much more of a likelihood that they're going to trade out and give us a shot at those picks.
Yeah.
So for you guys, like, I think you could get some pretty decent receivers if you wanted to add a in the draft at 32 or in the second round, or there's like those mid-range, like wide receiver three, wide receiver two, like Marquise Brown is available. Calvin Ridley, even though
I've seen some predictions that he's gonna get like $20 million a year.
Marquise Brown,
which I feel like is a lot, but you know, I think with free agency now, you gotta pick your poison. I was having a conversation with a buddy this morning, and he's actually gonna be a future contributor on this program.
Pending a tryout,
he'll make it. Right. I think he will have better success than Mr. Russell Wilson did in Denver. That's a little tidbit for you. Maybe you guys can do a little Nancy Drew action and figure out what team he's gonna be covering. But you know, we said this, like, if you're gonna be a successful team in the NFL, right? You need a quarterback, you need a left tackle, you need a solid cornerback, safety, I have more cornerback, and you need an edge rusher. If you don't have those positions, you don't have a shot. You know, the Raiders have a good tackle in Colton Miller, and they have obviously an all-world guy in Max Crosby. They don't have the quarterback, they don't have the corner, right? So you need to
Jack Jones, Nate Hobbs.
Jack Jones,
the dog.
Just because he returned a touchdown against Patrick Mahomes doesn't mean he's the best.
Of four pick sixes Pat Mahomes has ever thrown.
Okay,
I'm just saying.
Again, and then you guys are telling me about
we won on Christmas. Were you not aware? Yeah, we did win on Christmas. I think you're right though. You're not. I'm not going to say the word, but you're not ish if you don't have a quarterback, and we don't. And then in the AFC West, where Herbert is a stud. Just needs the right coaching, I think. And then Pat Mahomes is like breaking the record books right now. So
yeah.
And the Broncos are just going to keep sucking, I think. Which is great for everybody involved. But yeah, this is a very like challenging offseason for a lot of teams to try to play catch up to you guys, which is just kind of what the offseason's all about, is compete with the Chiefs. We got a lot of news coming up in the next couple of days, but we want to break down the combine, and Coach and I are gearing up. You know, we're about a month and 2 weeks away from, we're like 6 weeks away from the draft. So things are heating up. News is coming in hot, and the mock drafts and such are going. Coach is working on his top 50 board, which should be breaking out probably by the next episode, I would think.
Yeah, I would think by the next episode, you know, and then I think we can – I guess we got to wait a little bit on our mock draft. We'll wait a little bit on our mock drafts.
I want to wait till free agency is done, because then we'll really see the needs.
1,000%.
And as we've said in the last couple of podcasts, we're right around that sweet time where the Panthers made their big trade with the Bears last year.
Who were the Bears?
Yeah. So let's keep our eyes peeled for the Bears to finally make a freaking decision, because everyone is waiting on them. Bears make a decision, the dominoes fall, and then we all figure out what's going to happen after that, unless someone else is going to make a move, but who knows. So this is going to be wild. I'm here for it. Coach is here for it. We're ready to rock. And I apologize for my lack of beard. It's growing back. It's just some technical difficulties on the beard.
I'll keep it rocking. This beard will never go anywhere. No.
Good man. Yeah. It's part of the manhood. But anyways, help out our sponsors, SeatGeek, promo code RTK, get $20 off your ticket orders. Anyone in the live chat has any last minute questions to throw up, we can get that going and we can, and before we see you guys on your way. But we're just really excited for free agency to kick off, get this going. I'm still waiting on Pete Schrager to reach out, say he wants to talk more about my
Schrager. I mean, it's a half a Chiefs podcast too, or it's like a quarter of a Chiefs podcast. So he should want to talk. Right.
He should, yeah. Well, I mean, he seems to predict you guys correct. I think he's predicted the last three or four Super Bowls.
Yeah, he's the Schwam.
He is, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think my take was any kind of an attack on him, but he pretty much brought it up on Good Morning Football the next morning without dropping Raiding the Kingdom.
Yeah, but that would have been cool.
Well, he cleared the air on Good Morning Football. Yeah, just hashtag Raiding the Kingdom. So there's no bad blood here, dude. No, I appreciate you.
No, we obviously too want to, like, you know, we're having a good month. We have a lot of good interactions. You know, Brendan's putting out a lot of good content, so we appreciate everyone viewing the video, sharing them, commenting, just interacting with us. That's how we grow. That's how we're gonna be able to give you more fun content in the future. You know, we obviously want to go to a Raiders Chiefs game together. There's other AFC West teams that we want to go to and face, and, you know, maybe get live reactions,
antagonize.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you like that.
So yes, yeah,
that's it. We got some big time guests coming up next month, so you're definitely gonna want to tune in for those. Yeah, be very exciting.
Yep, it's very exciting.
And yeah, and we will hit you all up on the flip side, and that's gonna be the end of Raiding the Kingdom for tonight. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Go Chiefs.
Go Raiders.